S or N.
If you had to guess why she left you alive, what would be your guess?
Guessing won't be necessary. She informed me. She said I could keep my wicked life for two reasons.
As I said before, I've allowed you to keep your wicked life for two reasons. And the second reason is so you can tell him in person everything that happened here tonight. I want him to witness the extent of my mercy by witnessing your deformed body. I want you to tell him all the information you just told me. I want him to know what I know. I want him to know. I want him to know. And I want them all to know. They'll all soon be as dead as a wren. As your leader, I encourage you from time to time, and always in a respectful manner, to question my logic.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of their women.
Let me tell you a little bit about Tyler Durden.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Milk was a bad choice.
Hey, where are the white women at?
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese.
You can't handle the truth!
You are listening to Cinema Press Briefing.
Welcome to episode 89 of Cinema Press Briefing. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Hanging out on a wonderful, the last day of summer, I think, actually. The last official day of summer is what I heard, the rumor. Before we get the show started, Cinema Chris Beniso traffic report. The traffic just outside this building is nice and clear. There are no accidents. So that's our traffic report. I hope that helps you whenever and wherever you listen to this episode. With me is my co-host, Drew Cogburn. Drew.
What up? How's it going, Chris?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Ready to record another wonderful episode of the show.
Well, you better be ready because we're doing it. We are recording currently.
Oh, shit. I didn't notice. Good call.
Yeah.
Good catch.
Uh-huh.
That's why we pay you all the big bucks around here.
If these are the big bucks, I hate to see the small bucks.
Oh, you would hate to see. Let me tell you about those small bucks. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got.
So, how's it going? How's it going, dude?
Man, it's going, man. It's another week, another Sunday with these wonderful listeners we have.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. We appreciate it.
And I'm sure some of them aren't so wonderful, but whatever.
Some of you are probably shitheads, but you listen, so that's cool. We appreciate it. We'll look past your douchebaggery this one time. Because you...
Only this once.
Only this once, though. Yeah, though. So cut it out. Start being cool from here on... forward. If you don't know how to be cool, just listen to some Dr. Drew's Two Cents. Listen to the last Dr. Drew's Two Cents. It has a recipe there at the very end for how we can all be cool with each other. And it's all good to go. Was that the last one? Was religion the last one?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I didn't go off like I thought I was going to either.
Kept it pretty
subdued. It could have been an awful tirade.
It could have been hurtful for the little ears. The opposite of those all those bumper stickers I see around town. Mm-hmm. 88.3.
Hurtful for the little ears.
Hurtful for the little buttholes. What? Wait, why would you Chris? Say that, Drew? Drew?
Chris, I have...
why would you say that?
I have audio evidence that I said nothing
why
of the sort.
Why would you do that? I don't understand.
Audio evidence that audio. I said nothing of the sort.
We're going to bring in voice experts here to,
yes,
to parse
bring,
out all
yes,
these different sounds.
I will.
There's no video here.
I'll bring in the audio experts.
Although, you know, these computers have the cameras on them. People can easily... hack into him, turn him on, and watch us.
Mine doesn't. It's so old.
Oh, he even hacked his cam and get into it?
Nope. It's because I got no camera. There's no camera to get into, Chris.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. You actually have to hook the camera up to it.
I would have to, yes.
We can do that. I got one around here somewhere.
I don't want to.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. You sure you don't want to?
Positive.
You don't want a Skype-y, nope. FaceTime, mm-mm. Chat roulette with some of the lady listeners? Maybe they want to find out a little more about the Drewster Cogburn, the mystery that is Drewster. You don't want to.
The mystery of Drewster Cogburn.
You don't want to let these ladies in just a little bit.
Is that going to be the name of the episode? The mystery of Drewster Cogburn.
The mystery of Drewster Cogburn. maybe. But then that'll be a letdown when at the end of the episode we find out there is no mystery. He's just a misanthrope.
And no, I don't. I don't know what these ladies look like.
That's part of the fun. They'll have cameras too.
I hate to be superficial about this.
You'll find out when the cameras get turned on.
Ooh, scary.
Well, then you shut the camera off. Then you close the computer. And it all goes away. it's like it never happened.
But does it all go away?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. No? Yeah. I thought so. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, we got quite a bit here to talk about. I need to take a sip of my...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ah, nice Belgium. Big old sip of whatever that was.
Good old New Belgium. What are you drinking over there?
You're drinking yak milk. Don't lie to people.
I'm drinking yak milk, and you're drinking...
Dos Equis.
Dos Equis brand...
Lager Especial.
Camel urine, so... Mm. I didn't know why they got into the camel urine business...
I don't know.
But they're good at it.
I don't know how New Belgium got into the yak milk business.
I know, but the best versions of both beverages, if you ask me.
Delicious.
Yeah, we had our drinks now. We got a bunch of movies to review, both in theaters and on DVD. We got new movies on DVD, new movies in theaters. We got movie news, a new Billy D's Death of the Movies. So much to talk about. But before we do any of that, it's time for the... Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
It's the Lightspeed Edition because I already have it and I already know it's on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got the entry before you even started it. Like I said,
I just turned it up. I just warmed it up.
It's the Lightspeed Edition.
Crespo Lisa Randomizer needs to be taken in. It's spitting out answers before it's even turned on. All right.
Yeah. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Hi-yo!
And for the second week in a row, I forgot to quiz you on what it was.
Yeah, you just
I just blurted it out.
You just blurted it out.
I must be tripping, bro.
You're tripping, bros. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, fantastic movie. What other movie will feature Abraham Lincoln, Socrates, Genghis Khan, Napoleon Bonaparte, Deepwater Park,
Keanu Reeves, George Carlin,
that other guy, George Carlin, and a fake band. It's all 80s.
Yep.
Wild Stallions. Too bad I'm not dead. I should have a drop, a Bill and Ted drop. Fun movie. Late 80s? 89? 88?
Probably.
Something like that?
I don't know. I'll check it out real quick.
One of the first Keanu Reeves hits. I think it was right before Point Break. And, I think it was one of his very first movies where he got popular. And then after that, for a long time forward, he had to fight the whole stigma of the Ted character, bro, you know, the whole beach bum thing.
So he did Point Break right afterwards.
That's playing with that stereotype, because then he's an FBI agent, but then he has to pretend to be a surfer, pretend to be that type of thing, but people still see him as like, I'm an FBI. He's still doing his Ted Theodore Logan thing. And then they did Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which is insane. That's an insane movie. Where they die.
Yeah, yeah.
The evil robot usses kill them, and then they go to hell.
And then they have to face off against Death.
Who's a bad guy from Die Hard 2?
1989, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
1989, and
although in 1990, apparently there was a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures animated TV series.
Yeah, they did.
That I was unaware of.
They did a horrible animated series. I mean, especially in the 80s and 90s, they cranked out animated series for any hit film. There was even a Rambo. Animated series, which makes no sense.
Apparently, there was a TV episode in 2013 as well.
Oh, okay. There you go. Been rumored for a long time that they'd be making a Bill and Ted 3, and they came up even recently that they're trying to get one done.
Keanu's looking a little old these days.
Well, yeah, of course he's looking old, but you know they got to play with the age. I'm sure somehow the main thing is Keanu is open for it.
All I gotta do is get the other guy.
He's down for the other guy. The other guy's begging for Bill and Ted 3. He's the one that wants it to be made the most. Because what has he done?
Nothing.
Bill S. Preston, nothing. Esquire.
Nothing.
He's not an Esquire. That's a lawyer.
Yep, he doesn't know that.
He even graduated high school. Whole weird subplot of that movie about how his dad married a girl from his school that graduated like 1 or 2 years ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's pretty funny.
old men like young women. Yeah. It's the way it works.
Good stuff.
It's the way the world goes around.
That's the way the world works. There's also a scene where they go to a mall and there's like a piano store. Remember those days?
Piano stores? Vaguely.
And then what's his name? Was it Beethoven? Starts playing.
Yeah.
Playing the keyboard.
Yeah.
And then Genghis Khan goes to the sports store and he starts swinging around hockey sticks and shit like he's battling people.
Because he is in his mind.
And then there's a theme park, a water park called Waterloo. So that's where Bonaparte goes.
Yep.
And he loses his mind on the slides.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
It's a great movie.
Good stuff. So there you go. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Time-traveling phone booth. Do you remember phone booths, Chris?
Time-traveling phone. Do you remember phone booths? Now they have them at theme parks. Like, this is what's called a phone booth. They used to have these decades ago.
On street corners and random walls of gas stations.
Superman used to change your clothes in them.
Yes, they did. Yeah. Back in the days of Superman.
Back in the days of Superman. Where have all the Supermen gone? We are the watchers on the walls of world freedom, Drew.
Yes, we are.
Quiz Custodius Ips Custodius.
I don't know who does watch The Watchmen.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I got all that wrong. So
it's not me.
There you go. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Great movie. Good stuff. Enjoy it, people. Box office review time. Here we go, Drew. What do you got?
We're starting off at number 5 this week. Well, actually, no. We'll start off at number 10 and 14.
Yeah.
Tusk, the new Kevin Smith movie, made $886,000 on a budget of probably not a lot. I don't know. I didn't see the movie, Chris.
Look at all
you
that
saw
money.
It.
Yes, Tusk. Tusk is playing at the Winter Park Regal here in town and a couple other theaters as well. So 602 theaters around the country. It's playing in more than one around town here.
No.
The new joint from Kevin Smith. Where do I start with this one? It's a weird one.
Does he actually turn into, like, a physical walrus?
See, now I'm trying to think of how much information I give away. Okay, so when I went to see Tusk, and going into it, I didn't have that much information about the movie. I knew generally the general idea. Justin Long played an American podcaster who's in Canada, meets some weirdo, and this weirdo wants to somehow turn this guy into a walrus.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it as being more like Cronenberg body horror.
Okay.
Like The Fly or Videodrome, where maybe it's a little supernatural, you know, and he physically just starts changing it. Or think like even a District 9.
Yeah.
Right? Things like that. That's what I was expecting.
Not the case.
More of a human centipede
forced
surgery type of thing.
Oh.
Which is itself, in that way, it's... I found that even more gruesome. I was expecting a supernatural kind of weirdness, like maybe something will happen to him where he just starts growing crazy body parts and he turns into a deformed man on his way into turning into a walrus. That's not what happens, and I think I could have accepted that more. Mm-hmm. I think, in terms of being squeamish about things, because instead it's like more of a surgery type thing, and it's like it gets pretty gross.
Yeah, I'm sure
it gets gross. So I don't want to give away what happens at the end, but I can definitely say it gets gross. So it's a weird movie. Maybe the weirdest movie I've seen in theaters in a while.
Okay.
Like outside of a film festival.
Yeah.
Type of, it definitely feels like a midnight screening film festival type movie.
But instead it's Kevin Smith.
But instead it's a Kevin Smith movie. And
Kevin
it's
Smith.
Being weird. So because it's a Kevin Smith movie, there's whole chunks of the film where people are just yapping.
Yeah.
Because, that's what he's a writer. He's a very good writer. He writes very big dialogue, almost like a meat-headed Paddy Chayefsky type of thing, like network type deal, you know? And Michael Parks, the great Michael Parks, who plays the bad guy, I guess you can call him the bad guy, the Canadian weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in the Dusk Till Dawn and the Kill Bill movies and Planet Terror, they all have the same Texas cop guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
Okay.
Who also played in Kill Bill 2, like the Spanish dude who was in the wheelchair. I remember you talked about like cutting the hooker's face.
No,
you remember that guy?
I remember that.
He also played a bad guy in Twin Peaks called Jean Renault. And he is an insane actor. He's very charismatic and weird, a very chameleon like Michael Parks. He plays the main bad guy. He's great. He has a lot of very long pieces of dialogue that he just really sinks his teeth into. He's really good. Justin Long's okay. He's got a creeper mustache the whole time.
Sweet.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. His character is a podcaster, okay? I found this interesting. I think this kind of speaks to Kevin Smith's worldview.
Yeah.
His personal worldview.
Okay.
He has a movie about a podcaster.
He's a podcaster.
He's a podcaster. So his movie about a podcaster, the podcaster, is extremely successful. Specifically mentions he brings in 100K a year via ads. And then it's like, that doesn't even include the t-shirts and the live events, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
talking about all the money. He's talking to his girlfriend. His girlfriend's like, I miss the old you. Mm-hmm. He's like, the old me sucked. New me is very successful. I find it interesting that that's Kevin Smith's worldview on podcasting, because he's a celebrity. You know, he's got a big name out there. Yeah. So if he starts a podcast, sure, tons of people are going to want to listen to it. People are going to advertise with him because he's Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Whereas the other hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there are all like us. We're all struggling. It's a hobby more than anything else. We're not making 100K a year just on ads.
Dude, I wish I was making 100 cents a year on ads.
Right. If you want to advertise on our show for 100 cents a year, hit us up at cinemacrespo@gmail.com. So I found it interesting. And then on top of that, the podcaster characters. There's two of them, Justin Long and his co-host, played by Haley Joel Osment.
Okay, haven't seen that kid since he saw Dead People.
If you look at him now, you'll be like, oh, that's Haley Joel Osment. He gained a little bit of weight.
Did he? A little chunker now?
Not a cute little kid anymore.
A little bit of an awkward adult?
A bit of an awkward looking adult. He plays the co-host. They have a show called The Nazi Party.
Sweet.
But it's N-O-T.
S-E-E.
Not C.
Yeah.
The whole conceit of the show is that apparently Haley Joel Osment's character is afraid to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Or doesn't like traveling. So Justin Long, he goes out, interviews people, comes back, relays the interview to his co-host. Because he doesn't see it. It's a Nazi party.
Yeah.
Then at the end of it, he's like, join the Nazi party at the end of each one. And I'm like, it's the end of the episode. People are listening. They're into the show. They've joined. You think you put that at the top of the show?
Join the Nazi party.
Join the Nazi party. So it's like, and then the show itself is like an audio Tosh.0. They find internet videos to make fun of people. They're like 90s radio shock jocks.
Okay.
So it feels like Kevin Smith, despite being a podcaster, is himself shitting on podcasters. But then he has this warped view where podcasters are also these people that make a bunch of money shitting on people. Like it's a TMZ type of thing, you know, or just very reckless. You know, hating fellow man type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It's strange.
It's kind of weird.
But anyway, all that aside. So he goes to Canada. He meets a dude. Goes through all this this crazy shit. It gets kind of dark, obviously. Pretty tense at times. But I think the movie also kind of meanders a bit. It sort of loses its way towards the end.
No.
Really don't even know what the whole point of the movie is. When it's all over.
Walrus.
Yeah, Walrus, I guess. And, there's a cameo, not even a cameo, it's a scene, it's a character, I mean to say, played by a very famous actor who's uncredited. And then I saw it, you can spoil it, if you want to know at home, you can spoil it for yourself by going to IMDb, and it's like the fourth or fifth name down. It's a huge name that you would think they would use to try to advertise the movie.
But no.
But no, they didn't. And you know what, this guy was in so much makeup.
You really couldn't even tell?
I didn't recognize him. I didn't know it was him until afterwards. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Also in this movie, this ties into Kevin Smith's next project, right? There's this couple of scenes where they go to a convenience store in Canada called A to Z, but it's E-H-A,
mm-hmm.
A to Z. And the two girls working the convenience store counter, they're two teenage girls, they're always using their phone. One of them is Kevin Smith's daughter, and one of them is Johnny Depp's daughter. And in Kevin Smith's next movie, they're going to be like the main characters.
Okay.
I think it's called Yoga Hosers.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. He's hit an interesting part of his career where he doesn't give a shit anymore about making money.
Nope. He just kind of wants to make weird ass movies.
He just wants to get as much funding as he can to make the movies he wants to make. Fuck what everyone else says. And you know what? Hey, good for him. Good for him. So I thought the movie was okay. You know, kind of like middle of the road. I would give it like a... If I was going to have to rate it out of like 10, I'll give it like a 6 out of 10. Like, I liked it more than I didn't like it. But there's definitely parts where it got a little boring. It was a little too talky for being a horror movie, a body horror movie.
Should I bother seeing it?
I would be like, you know, yeah, see it on like DVD at home on HBO. You don't have to necessarily run out to see it in theaters. It's worth checking out because, like I said, it is very strange. It's like Misery, you know, but mixed with a little bit of like horror.
Okay.
And then that Kevin Smith touch. So a whole bunch of dick jokes.
Of course.
So, it's okay. I didn't hate it. I did not like it. but I'm not over the moon for it. Let's see what they said about it on Rotten Tomatoes. On the Rotten Tomatoes, out of 82 reviews, that has a score of 39%, average rating 5.4 out of 10. So I'm actually kind of close to what they said. Their synopsis, Tusk is pleasantly ridiculous and charmingly self-deprecating. I'd agree with that. But that isn't enough to compensate for its thin, overstretched story. Yeah, that sounds right.
There you go.
So there you go. Kevin Smith's Tusk. You can read my review of Tusk at chriscrespo.com.
Coming in at number five this week, Dolphin Tale Dose. We can gross a $9 million, total of 27, budget of 36.
A little behind the first Dolphin Tale. I'm sure Warner Brothers is a little disappointed by this. I'd be surprised if we got a Dolphin Tale 3.
I'd never wanted a Dolphin Tale 1 to begin with. So number four this week, No Good Deed. We can gross a $10.2 million, total of 40, budget of 13.2.
$40 million on a $13 million budget. This movie's going to make its money back.
Are we going to get No Good Deed 2?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. But the guy who directed it might get another chance to direct another low-budget film, maybe with an Idris Elba again, because they know each other from the Luther days. No Good Deed is, eh, it's okay. I read a lot of reviews saying it's the worst movie of the year. Wasn't even the worst movie of the month.
No,
go to chriscrespo.com to read my review of No Good Deed.
Number three this week.
And listen to last week's show to hear both of our reviews.
This is where I
leave
you.
Or is it just
you.
My review? You didn't see it,
This is where I leave you, Chris.
You didn't see it, right? Well, you're what? What? You're what?
It made $11.8 million.
Oh, the movie is where I leave you.
Budget of $19.8.
That was close.
But I really am just going to leave.
Oh, you're one of these days. I have to do the rest of the show, Lamar?
Yep, I'm just going to walk out in the middle of an episode. You're never going to see me again.
Yeah, I mean, your timing couldn't be worse.
I think that's the point.
No, I'm talking about for your own financial reasons. So a budget of $19 million, $11.8 million opening weekend. It's a Sean Levy movie. Sean Levy is he's pretty much considered, I consider him a total hack director. Mm-hmm. He sucks.
Sweet.
Makes a lot of really bad, middle-of-the-road, if not below-the-middle-of-the-road comedy. His movies like Just Married, Cheaper by the Dozen, the Pink Panther movie with Steve Martin, Night at the Museum and Night at the Museum 2, Date Night,
all the Internship. Are bad.
That's why when he made Real Steel, I was like, hey, this movie's actually half okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a half okay movie, Real Steel. This is where I leave you. I don't know. It doesn't really look that good. Let's see what they say about it on the good old...
Not so much.
Out of 98 reviews on the Rotten Tomatoes, 43% of them are positive. We're looking at an average rating of 5.6 out of 10. So middle of the road kind of movie.
Well,
Sean Levy. That's Sean Levy for you. This Is Where I Leave You has its moments, but given the amount of talent assembled on screen, the rather pedestrian results can't help but feel like a letdown. That is a Sean Levy movie for sure.
Coming to number two this week, A Walk Among the Tombstones. Said we can gross to 13.126 million. Same as the total budget of 28.
We saw A Walk Among the Tombstones just today.
Liam Neeson's is old and does stuff.
He's like, Y2K is coming and I don't care.
This movie's set in
the early 1999. 1999.
Oh, yeah, Y2K.
Right before, yeah. They made a big deal about that.
They did.
Big deal about that. And I really didn't feel like I could play that much into it.
Nope.
And it wasn't even like they got to a point where I feel like, a cell phone would have. They had cell phones.
They had one of the kids had a cell phone.
Yeah, one of the kids had a cell phone.
There were a lot of payphones in the movie, though.
They use a lot of payphones. I guess they're just trying to justify payphone usage.
Maybe.
The book must have been written a while ago and set in the late 90s. It must have been written in the late 90s set at that time. Yeah. It was like modern at that time. A lot of payphone usage. I wonder if that was in the book where the part where he looks at the kid and he's like, what do you got there? Can you look up news on that thing? And he's using the internet.
Yep.
He's like,
he's
on
Yahoo.
He's like, yeah, he says, you can take 1 minute to figure out how to use Yahoo. And
nah,
he's like,
screw that.
And he's like, nah. You can.
I'm old.
I don't like cell phones or the internet. That is
kind of weird.
That's pretty funny. I guess that's why they wanted to make hammer home. Like, hey, it's 99, people. So don't freak out when they keep finding payphones that are working.
Yes.
And they only cost.
Nobody has a cell phone.
And they only cost a quarter. So it does a movie. It's a private eye movie. They even specifically name drop Sam Spade and Philip Marlowe twice within like 3 minutes.
Correct.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. And Dante Culpepper.
And Dante Culpepper. That's UCF Stone. Dante Culpepper. That's very strange.
Yeah, very weird.
Very weird. I wonder if he's ever going to see the movie. Like, no one tells him that happens. Then he watches the movie. And all of a sudden, they start.
Like, yo, they said my name.
They said my name. They want me to be a private eye. They said my name sucks for football, but it's good for being a PI. So Dante Culpepper, private investigation is a whole subplot. No, it's not. But all right. So Liam Neeson. He's a guy. He's unlicensed.
Yes.
Someone's wife gets kidnapped.
And then murdered.
And the husband's like, I need you to investigate this for me because the police, I don't want to get the police involved because I'm into illegal type stuff.
Yes.
And then the whole movie is like a whodunit. It's a mystery. Uh-huh. Liam Neeson's going around.
Except you know whodunit. Well, we know whodunit. They keep showing the guys during the quote-unquote flashbacks.
We know who did it. Yeah, that's true. We don't know if anyone hired them.
And the funny
them,
thing is, the dude, one of the guys who plays one of the bad guys.
Yeah.
The second I heard his voice, I knew, A, I knew his voice, and B, I knew which actor it was. And I was like, I can't wait to see this guy.
Oh, you recognize the guy?
I was like, he's going to, I forget what I recognize him from.
You see him all the time. I don't even know his name.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys where, was he on that show, 6 Feet Under?
Maybe. I think so.
Or am I mixing him up with someone else?
I don't know.
That guy. That guy. He's one of those guys who's like, hey!
It's that guy!
It's that guy. Exactly. He's a that guy guy. Yeah, I learned that guy's name. So anyway. So whodunit? It's a mystery. Why is a big reason. Like, he kind of knows who it is, but you want a why. You want to know why these people are goddamn insane animal monsters, right? And it's good. You know what? I thought the movie was good. That was good.
I thought it was okay.
I thought it was good. I mean,
It felt a lot longer than it was. Like, halfway through the movie, I was like, man, is this thing going to end?
Towards the end, I did feel like, man, this thing's...
It's kind of dragging.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a drag. How long was it, really?
Only an hour 45.
Oh, really? It definitely felt like a two-hour movie. It definitely felt a little longer than its runtime. That's interesting. All right, well, why don't you go ahead and start it off, Drew. Tell people what you thought about the Liam Neeson's walking amongst the tombstone.
There was a lot of walking, there was a lot of talking, and there wasn't a lot of action.
No, a lot on the action. That's for sure.
If I want to see a Liam Neeson's movie without action, I'll go see Rob Roy or something.
Rob Roy!
But even so, there's a lot of action in that movie.
Yeah, there's sword fighting stuff in Rob Roy, right?
Yeah.
No swords in this one.
Yeah, no.
A little bit of knifing.
Everything was
a little
gray.
Knife action.
Everything was gray and rainy the entire time.
A lot of gray and raininess, for sure.
I kind of felt that was going to happen.
There was some daytime stuff.
Barely.
But it was mostly gray and rainy.
Yeah, when they do the flashback and they do young Liam Neeson's, he looks even older for some reason.
Yeah, with the long hair.
Yeah, and the mustache and the goatee.
They did somehow make him look older.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because of the drinking.
But he was supposed to be younger.
Was the drinking supposed to make him look older?
I don't know.
Because the whole thing about how he's an alcoholic and had the whole AA thing.
That silly threaded. Side story was ridiculous.
Yeah, I wasn't really digging the whole recovering alcoholic gambit, especially since, honestly, it really never even paid off.
Until the end, when they had to, they had some lady reciting the 10 things during
the 12 steps
during weird cuts of Liam Neeson's eyes and
because he's sitting there listening to it.
It's like, what the fuck?
Didn't really work too well, that part. It was okay. Yeah, you know, the movie's okay. It's definitely like a Sunday afternoon. It's raining. Oh, look, it's on HBO.
I definitely wouldn't rush out to see this movie in theaters.
Yeah. Unless you're dying to see a scene in which Liam Neeson says, let's get our eat-ons together.
Yes, because he definitely says that.
He definitely says eat-ons. Let's get let's get our eat-ons together.
So yeah, I mean, all in all, I would, I have to agree with you. Catch it on the HBO.
Yeah, that type of deal. Maybe Redbox it, you know, on Friday night.
I mean, don't spend a lot of money, and you better not have anything better to do, because if you do, you should probably do that.
I mean, it's okay. It's okay. Could have been better.
If you have anything else to do, you should do that first.
It gets pretty dark. The bad guys are pretty bad.
I mean, the bad guys are pretty bad, and that might shake most people, but, you know, from the movies that I've seen, they're no worse than some other movie villains.
I guess so.
I mean, in fact, compared to some movie villains, they're kind of light.
Could be considered. Mm-hmm. Depends on the frame of reference type of thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, well... Let's see what they sell on the Rotten Tomatoes. We got a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes. So certified fresh, as they like to say. With an average rating of 6 out of 10. I would put it around there.
Maybe. So less.
You would go less?
Yeah, maybe around 4 or 5.
You'll go 4 or 5? Ooh, that's 4 is pretty low. I would go maybe like 6.2. Just slightly up. That's out of 96 reviews. 66% of them are positive. Their little synopsis, they walk among the tombstones, doesn't entirely transcend its genre cliches, but it does offer Liam Neeson one of his more compelling roles in recent memory. And that's often enough. It was an okay enough role for him. Again, it's not a guy dealt with guilt.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson has to be Catholic.
He has. Because
all of his characters are all saddled with, like, just the heaviest of guilt.
Yep.
Usually for straight up killing people.
Yep.
Either accidentally or on purpose, but... yeah, okay, so there you go. A Walk Among the Tombstones. You'll be able to find my review of that on chriscrespo.com pretty soon, if not by now.
Coming in number one this week, The Maze Runner.
The Maze Runner
had a weekend gross of $32.5 million, same as total budget of $34 million, and I didn't know how much corn was going to be in this movie.
There's a lack of corn. Where's the corn at, yo?
I was making a joke.
Where's the corn at?
The Maze Runner.
Where is it? Where's all the corn?
Runs with corn.
That's what I'm saying.
Wrong maze.
Not one piece of corn.
Not a single ear.
No popcorn. Not a kernel.
Mm-mm.
Not a cob.
Nope.
Nothing.
There was maze.
What a bunch. Oh yeah, there was definitely a maze. There was definitely a maze. The Maze Runner, the latest franchise starter, young adults fiction,
dystopian future
adaptation, etc. I didn't read the book. You read the book?
No.
So we're just going to talk about the movie. Okay, so people that read the book, calm the fuck down. We're talking about the movie. Drew.
Chris.
What did you think of The Maze Runner?
I thought it was okay for what it was. I mean, I've definitely seen worse pre-teen dystopian future flicks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I thought The Maze was probably the coolest part of the whole movie.
Maze was interesting.
And those weird... strange straps without backpacks they were wearing.
Yeah, what was that all about?
When they were running through the maze.
Like, why did they...
I don't know, Chris.
They never...
Nope.
They just put on the strap thing.
Uh-huh, and now you're a runner. But you gotta wear the backpack straps with no backpack.
I didn't even think about that. At one point, I was Stephen Wayne's like, what's the deal with the strap thingies or a backpack? Are they carrying things around? But anyway.
Yep, nope.
Okay, so the movie's about... it's a very linear movie. No flashbacks. Just some, like, dream sequences. Like flashes of images, but still, it starts with the main character who doesn't have any memory of what's going on. He's put into an extreme situation, and then we, as the audience, as he learns things, we learn things along with him. Yeah. So I appreciated that. I like that approach to telling the story because it keeps the mystery going. For like the first hour of the movie, I was pretty compelled. I was like, I want to know what happened next. I want answers.
Is there an end to the maze? Yeah. What's the purpose of the maze?
Now, I did feel that those little quick flashback images, those dream sequence images, gave away
a lot,
way too much. I was like, oh, it's this type of thing. And if, I guess this could be spoilery, but it's for people that only know what the shorthand means. If it's kind of a, how can I put it? Maybe, It's very Matrixy. Let's just say that.
A little bit.
Let's just say that. It's very Matrixy and what it all means. Now here's the thing. Jumping to the end, when it has a big reveal and a lot of information gets dumped on the main character and some of the other characters that's supposed to explain a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
I got lost.
Did you?
I was like, I don't fully understand what's happening here. But you know what I did know? You know what I did fully understand? That the ending of this movie was setting up a whole other movie.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And once that started happening...
Kind of angry.
I was like, oh, Jesus.
I don't want to see a Maze Runner 2.
Christ, I really
don't. They can't call it the Maze Runner because there's no more...
There's no more maze. Because it's like a Hunger Games type thing.
Yeah.
Where that's the starting off point and then it goes on to some other crazy story. I just want a single movie with this... Walk Among the Tombstones, that didn't end with, like, Liam Neeson's character being all... Although, actually, it did kind of have an ending where it's like, what's he going to do next?
He's going to shoot a lot of people?
No, he's going to...
Oh, well, yeah.
He's got that, his new partner. That was silly. We even talk about that at all, but that was pretty silly. Anyway.
With what, the CG New York City with the Twin Towers still there?
Oh, that was annoying. Like, through the window? Yeah. I was like, that was so fake looking.
It was
so...
awful.
Fake.
Anyway, it was pretty awful.
Shot in the soundstage in Indiana somewhere in New York City.
Guaranteed.
The Maze Runner. So yeah, there's this kid and they're in a maze. They're like, okay, So he wakes up.
Oh, so what's the point of the girl? Have we decided what the point of the girl was?
There's a girl who shows up and she delivers an item like it's a video game.
And then that's it.
And then she's just hanging around.
Yep, she's just kind of there.
I do want... Okay, there's one thing that did bother me. It made me laugh, but also bothers me. And, okay, so he the main character, Thomas, mm-hmm. right? He gets there. And he wakes up in a box, and the box is in the middle of this big field, and the field is surrounded by these four walls, and they're in the middle of a huge maze, gigantic maze. When he wakes up, they get there, and there's the one kid that's in charge, Albie or whatever, mm-hmm. Abby?
Whatever.
He goes to him, and he's like, you see this, like, this is the glade area? We call it the glade, right? And then later, they start talking about the creatures that are out in the maze yep. that kill them, and one of them's like, we call them Grievous, and then he's taking them, and then he starts taking Thomas around and showing
them.
They
call them the runners.
Yes. He's like, those are the runners, those are the builders, yeah. those are the slicers. We never learned what builders or slicers do. We just know that the builders are dumb, and then those are slicers. They don't do anything. Later, some kid gets sick, and he's got like a poison in him, and I swear to God, he goes, he's changing. We call it the changing.
Yes.
And at that point, I wanted to kill myself. When he said that, I was like, oh my God, they call it. At that point, why didn't they just go overboard and just do it at every moment? Like, this is the time when we get together and eat food. We call it the meal or the eating.
The eating.
This is the feeding. This is now the time when we all get together and we sleep. We call it.
The napping.
You know, they did every step of the way. There was something. There was the builders, the slicers, the runners, the maze, the glade, the grievers. What else was there? I feel like there were a few.
The winners, the losers.
Oh, the winners and the losers. Yeah. Obviously. So that was really annoying how they had to have everything had to have names.
And they all had to have the in front of it.
And it had to be like, let me explain it, and then this is what we call it. Something, something, something. We call it
the Grievers.
The Grievers. Doesn't even make any sense. They bring grief. They grieve.
I don't know.
Do they do grieving?
I don't know. Bah.
That's why I think of that. All that bullshit. Anyway. But the movie itself, though, I found it was pretty compelling. It was okay. The ending, I thought, was really stupid because it's some another movie. The acting was fine.
Yeah, for a bunch of no-name kids.
And that one kid from Where the Millers. It was fine. And the effects were okay enough.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It was just kind of...
It is what it is. Yeah. You know? Can't really go too overboard for it. I would say it's another case of like, hey, when it's on DVD or on HBO, that type of thing.
You might as well watch it.
Might be worth watching in that situation. Or if you're stuck on an airplane, a decent way to pass maybe an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes, however long it is. But really, though, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Agreed.
Let's see what they said on the Rotten Tomatoes. Out of 100 reviews, 63% of them are positive. So 63 out of 100 reviews are positive. With an average rating of 6 out of 10... That's right around where I'd put it. What about you, Drew?
Maybe a little lower.
A little lower. You go a little lower. They say, with strong acting, a solid premise, and a refreshingly dark approach to its dystopian setting, The Maze Runner stands out from the crowded field of YA sci-fi adventures. So, there you go. That's it. Is that our box office review? That was number one.
That was number one this week.
That was numero uno. Here we go. New movies coming out on DVD this week. We have Neighbors.
Oh, I bet you there's some fun extras on that.
Probably is right on the DVD itself, which no one buys the DVD, so those extras don't get seen anymore.
Correct.
Which is a shame. Because I'm sure, like you said, it was pretty funny. Neighbors is a pretty funny movie. I liked it.
It was all right.
I thought it was good. The Rover.
The Rover.
The Rover.
The Rover.
The Rover is on day by day.
That was a fun one.
That's a dark, gritty, grimy, intense movie. Yeah. Australian.
I really did enjoy that one.
And that's definitely a good one. And one that kind of reminds me of The Maze Runner, The Signal.
That weird little sci-fi movie,
which was not bad.
I liked The Signal a lot more than I liked The Maze Runner.
I would say if I had to choose between the two, yeah.
Definitely The Signal.
The Signal definitely feels more weird and original and
different.
Yeah,
definitely.
Even though when it was done, I was like, it's kind of dumb.
But still.
But at least they
went. It's all about the journey.
They went for it. Yes, you're right. Absolutely.
It's all about the journey.
Absolutely.
And that journey was much better.
For that movie, it is absolutely all about the journey. Kind of like, what's that one? Beyond the Black Rainbow.
Yeah.
All right, what's coming out in theaters, Drew?
Coming out in theaters this week, the new Denzel being badass movie, The Equalizer.
The Black Man Walks Among the Tombstones.
Yes, The Black Man Walks Among the Tombstones.
Which is kind of what it looks like. Directed by Antoine Fuqua, So it's the reteaming of Fuqua and Denzel after doing Training Day all those years ago. You know, the first time working together. And then also, I think we reported last week that they'll be making the Magnificent Seven remake together.
Correct.
So that's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to Equalizer. So, yeah, it should be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I just like Denzel. You give Denzel a gun and I'm in.
Being an action badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Also coming up this week, The Box Troll.
That stop motion animation from, what's the name of that studio? People that did Caroline and Paranorman.
Laika Studio.
Yes.
L-A-I-K-A.
Yes, yes. Those guys are good.
They are. Stop motion's dying art, man.
But it's a beautiful one.
It is.
So that should be pretty good. And that's pretty much the only movies coming out next weekend, right?
Yeah.
What is that? Is that the... That's the last weekend of September?
Something like that.
Yeah. And then the following week is October 3rd, I think. So October 3rd, new David Fincher movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're only 2 weeks away from new David Fincher.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. All right, let's take a break here. I need another beer. So I got a couple songs here from the Solaris soundtrack. The last couple of tracks. Cliff Martinez. Fantastic music. Very chill. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Got a lot to talk about. It's going to be good times. You ready, Drew?
Yeah, let's take a break. I'm ready to get more drunk.
Drew's ready to get more drunk. Here we go. Thank you.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Welcome back. It's episode 89. Second half of the show. Drew, off the top of your head, 89 in Roman numerals. How do you do it? Go.
I got no fucking idea.
No fucking clue, man.
Nope.
No clue.
Nope. Zero. Zero clues.
I know 88 is LXXXBIII.
Well, then it should be.
Because the L is the 50.
So it should be L. XXX.
L four X's? No. It's not. What's 100 is C.
Okay.
Okay. So to do 90, you have to take away 10. So it's XC.
Okay.
That means take away 10 from C, 90.
Okay.
So that's, does that mean then. I think it's. I'm going to have to look that up on the internet. I think it's L. Is this what you were going to say? I think it's L XXXIX. Is that what you were going to say?
Something of the sort.
I think that's what it might be. That's what it might be. Roman numerals. They're fun. How else would we know which Rocky movie is which? We have to be like the one with the Russian. The one with Mr. T. That's how people refer to him anyway.
I was about to say, isn't that the way it's done?
The one that sucks. Everyone knows that's 5. Yeah. I mean, 5 is just
so
awful. Oh, my God. I rewatched it, too, over the summer because they had a marathon on AMC. And I was like, you know what? Let's give it a chance. Maybe it aged okay.
No,
because sometimes bad movies age okay.
No, it didn't age.
No, it did age.
It did age.
No, it did
not
age.
Well. It did not age well.
It got worse. It got worse. It only hurts because I love Rocky so much, the first Rocky movie. And Rocky 2 is great. And Rocky 3 and 4, like, you know, I grew up watching those. You know, it's kind of like the nostalgia type things. Guilty pleasure type stuff. Although I don't believe in guilty pleasures. Don't be guilty about what you're into. Just dig it, man.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Just be pleasures.
Just enjoy it. Just own up to it. For example, plugs. ChrisCrespo.com. Go there. Okay. Follow Juicer on Twitter at antihero419. How many have we got you up to? Are you at 100
almost
yet?
Almost 100. No,
almost, not at 100 yet. We've been almost at 100 for so long.
Well, because people, because I keep getting these weirdos who, like, they'll follow me, and then, like, a couple weeks later, I look back.
They'll unfollow you.
It's been unfollowed.
Because you don't follow them back.
Screw that. Why the hell do I want to follow them? I don't know who they are.
That's how they're doing it. They're doing it by the follow back method. Which, hey, you know what? I don't mind the follow back thing. Follow you, you follow me back. I'm cool with that. What I do mind is when. Have you noticed this happening to you, Drew? Has someone followed you, and then you followed them, and then a couple days later, they unfollow you?
I don't know, maybe.
That happens all the time. All the time. Because I got a program that lets me know what's going on with my Twitter account every day. A lot of people do. That's, you know, that's nothing new. But still, and you'll notice it. It's people that have, like, 500. They follow 500 people, but they're followed by 50,000 people. You're like, ooh, this guy must be fucking special, right? You know? But what it is, these people with their accounts, they automatically follow other accounts, and then after a couple of days, they unfollow, whether you follow or not.
Yeah.
So they're counting on people being like, oh, you're going to follow me? I'll follow you back. And then you don't notice that they drop you a couple of days later to keep their numbers down. It's a racket. Be careful of douchebags like that. I am a follow back type of guy. So if you want to follow me, I'll follow you back. That's how I do. Drew, on the other hand, much more selective about who he follows back. Don't take offense to it. Like we said earlier,
these
are all just part of the mysteries of Drewster Cogburn.
Exactly.
And he's a misanthrope. That's at the center of the mystery.
One of the many mysteries of Drewster Cogburn.
Yes. A lot of people, they want Drewster to like them and to be friends with them.
That makes me want to like them less.
Which makes Drewster want to like them less.
Because they're so needy.
And then I'm sitting behind the scenes and I'm just thinking... there's no benefit to having Drewster like you. Why? What's why?
There is no
What's
benefit at all.
Just let him be.
You're not going to get anything.
You're not getting nothing from this guy. He's Drewster Cogburn. Trust me, I know. Just to get him here is enough. Surprise has gone this far.
Yeah, well, you know, I really don't have much else going on.
He doesn't have much going on, and there are benefits on the horizon. Been dangling that carrot for about a year and a half now.
Yes, you have. Benefits, but maybe one of these days.
Healthcare is coming, I swear. Well, now we got that Obamacare, so.
Eva, I still can't afford that. Shit's expensive, bro. I don't make a lot of money.
If you out there have extra healthcare laying around, please donate it to the show at cosmodiso@gmail.com.
Yeah, I was just laying around, just hanging, you know.
It's a lot harder to get a computer. Maybe it's easier to get healthcare than it is to get your
service. Perhaps.
What were we talking about? Talk about Twitter before that. Talk about guilty pleasures. Bringing it back around. I ain't going to be like trying to answer to people to explain why lately I've been purposefully watching bad movies. I've just been on a kick where I've been wanting to watch some bad movies.
So you like bad movies.
It's not even necessarily that I even like the movies themselves, but I like the experience of watching a bad movie because a lot of times you will learn more about filmmaking when you watch a bad movie than when you watch a good one. It's easier to be like, oh, these are the things you do not do when you're telling a story, mm-hmm. as opposed to, oh, let me try to emulate someone else who's doing it really well. You know, it's easier to find your own voice while you're avoiding the mistakes of others. And you know, I have an interest in storytelling, a personal stake in it.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested in that. But on top of that, also sometimes these movies get made and they're batshit insane. Like, what were these people thinking any of this would work or any of this would be good or watchable?
Somebody obviously thought that it was, and so they made it.
For example, I've been watching. What have I watched lately? I watched. Most of these are on Netflix, if not all of them. I watched. On YouTube, in its entirety, I watched Super Mario Brothers. Because it's been a very long time.
Oh.
Watch it from start to finish. What an insane movie.
Oh, yeah. Batshit crazy.
Insane.
Yeah, yeah. It has almost nothing to do with a video
nothing
game.
Nothing to do with the fuck. Not a thing.
Except for the fact that there are two plumber brothers.
And even then, it's not like plumbing was that big of a deal in the games.
No.
It just went in and out of pipes.
Yeah,
there's
that
no
was it.
Plumbing.
No.
But there's a big deal about them being plumbers. The TV show with Captain Lou Albano.
Oh,
with
man.
The cartoon segments.
That was really weird.
That is more Mario Brothers. Way more
yeah,
Mario
totally.
Brothers
yes.
than that fucking correct. Movie with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo.
Yeah, what?
Not playing brothers, though. Like more like a foster child type of
so
thing.
So weird.
So fucking
those
weird.
Those weird jump boots that they had.
Yeah. The allusions to the jumping in the game. So they got to wear crazy jump boots that makes them really like kind of fly halfway through. And then Bob Hoskins is like he's just all the girls in the movie want to fuck him so bad and so funny.
It's really weird.
It's crazy. It's an insane movie. But even then, though, it's not one. There's certain bad movies where I'll be like, watch that bad movie. It's hysterical. And then there are ones where I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's a slog. You have to really like bad movies to want to try to sit through it. Super Mario Brothers is one of those ones where it's like, you really want to sit down to watch something fucking stupid. All the Goombas, instead of being little brown guys with feet, like just round brown things with feet, they're giant dinosaur dudes with tiny heads.
Yep.
Half of them like bothered me to watch. So like watch them walk around and talk. It was like this is
weird.
This is a horror movie for me. This I don't like this at all. I was not enjoying it at all. The look of them looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. No.
Weird.
I watched it on YouTube. On a Netflix I watched I had never seen it. Because no interest in it whatsoever, but it's on there. Spice World. That is a weird fucking movie.
Dude, it's a Spice Girls movie. Of course it's going to be weird.
Apparently they're going for a Hard Day's Night type of thing. You know, because the Beatles movie Hard Day's Night, it's a comedy, but that doesn't really have a story. It's them running around
it's
London.
It's just them being the Beatles.
Being the Beatles, being chased by girls, and it's pretty much a vignettes and skits and stuff. So mm-hmm. the Spice Girls are like, we're English, we're mega popular, we can do the same thing. And
not the case.
No. Interesting cast, though. Interesting cast. Kids in the Hall connection here. George Went from Cheers plays a guy who I think he's a movie producer who wants to tell a movie. And he's like, oh, we'll tell the Spice Girls story. So in the Spice World movie, there's a plot line where someone wants to make the Spice Girls movie.
That's weird.
The writer is Mark McKinney from Kids in the Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that comes up with a bunch of crazy ideas. And his crazy ideas that he comes up with that are all horrible get played out in the movie to the point where at the end of the movie he's describing like he's like, all right, here's the ending, he's at a pitch meeting, like, here's the ending of the movie, and then it actually happens as it plays out, and it's so stupid. And but it's a stupid movie.
Yeah,
a lot of singing scenes, obviously.
I'm sure that you
I fast forwarded through all the singing
good
stuff. I don't even like musicals let alone I'm gonna sit through and listen
brain aneurysm.
Yeah. Apparently there's one part where they have a whole scene where they dance around with Gary Glitter.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know who Gary Glitter is, but apparently right like a month before the movie came out, Gary Glitter got busted on child porn, I think,
nice.
Or something pedophilia-ish. something gross.
Sweet.
So they had to totally cut him out of the movie. Good times. And then I read that there's a Princess Di joke somewhere in the movie that she died that year.
Yeah.
They cut that. And Versace. Remember when Versace got gunned down?
Versace.
Got gunned down outside the mansion. His mansion.
Vaguely.
You don't remember that? I remember that being vaguely. A huge news story when like late 90s.
Yeah, I didn't
care. 98, 99. Oh, it's not like I cared who Versace was either. It was still an insane story. Some guy went on a murder spree that ended at a designer's house where he killed him on the fucking steps outside. Yeah. And then they had a joke about him. And their joke was like, I read it was some joke about how they were like, let's go to his house and shoot him in the face. And they're like, no, we should cut that.
Yeah.
Because someone actually did it.
Yep.
Embarrassing. Hi-yo. Probably not. It's more like just a fashion industry type joke. So Spice World, insane movie. But here we go.
Nope. Here we go. It's time for Juice Chicago vs. World.
Getting safe for myself. Juice Chicago vs. World. Juice Chicago vs. World.
Thank you.
So the 9-3 this year. One of those losses was the SBK in episode 87. Can you remember what the other two losses were too?
I think another one of them might have been to SBK.
Really? Did you lose twice to SBK this year?
I don't think I've ever beat him.
You must have beat him at least once.
I think he's got my number.
He's got your number?
I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah. Pretty sure Kevin's got my number.
That's hysterical. Yeah, because whenever we do movie type games show.
Yeah,
he's not. No, man. That's hysterical. We'll see what we can do about that. We'll train you enough to get to you. He's your Tong Po.
Exactly.
Like kickboxer style.
Yes.
We'll have a trivia match at the end. When it's all said and done at the end, you guys will put bandages on your hand with glue and glass, and then you'll have trivia. You won't touch each other. You're just standing there with glass and glue in your hands. Like, this is a... I'm afraid to cut myself, guys. I really like the Who Said It games. I want to throw quotes at you and tell you who you tell me who said it.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy these. And since on the Sundance Channel, by the way, stepping up their game lately. I'm really enjoying their programming.
And they got some good movies.
They're showing a lot of good movies. They're hyping their movies. They just did a thing now where they're doing a lot of Bill Murray double feature.
Yeah.
And it's Groundhog Day and Rushmore.
Correct.
I mean, come on. Someone over there.
I watched Groundhog Day twice in the last weekend.
Someone over there knows what's up. Yeah, and it's a movie that can be watched over and over. It's compulsively watchable. Crazy good movie. So who said it, Drew? Bill. I'm talking Bill Murray, Bill Cosby, or Bill Hicks, who wasn't in any movies, but a great stand-up comedian.
Yes,
one of my favorites. Yeah, he was working on a deal with CBS before his second and, unfortunately, final cancer diagnosis. Just to bring the show down real quick here. Cancer, ooh, it's scary. It affects us all. Anyway, here we go. Bill. I'll tell you the quote. You tell me if it's Bill Murray, Bill Cosby, or Bill Hicks. Bonus points if you talk in a Bill Cosby voice. Here we go. Number one. Sometimes I snore, like when I get really tired.
Bill Murray.
That is correct. Good job. Number two. Gray hair is God's graffiti.
Bill Hicks.
Oh, Bill Cosby. Ooh. Number three. I'm a nut, but not just a nut.
That sounds like something Bill Hicks would say.
Ooh, Bill Murray. Bill Murray. Number four. We are the facilitators of our own creative evolution.
Last time I'm going to say it, Bill Hicks.
That is Bill Hicks. Very good. That's something Bill Hicks. Number five. Time. I don't want to be that guy mumbling into his drink at the bar.
Bill Murray.
That is Bill Murray. Number six. Watching television is like taking black spray paint to your third eye.
Bill Hicks.
That is correct. Number seven. Every closed eye is not sleeping. And every open eye is not seen.
Bill Cosby?
That's correct. Number eight, I'm a heavy smoker. I go through two lighters a day.
Bill Hicks.
That's correct. Number nine, when I at work, my first relationship with people is professional.
Bill Cosby?
Bill Murray. And number 10, You don't reinvent yourself. You get better at what you do.
Bill Cosby.
Let me reread that. You don't reinvent yourself. You get better at what you do with the Jell-O and the pudding. And that is correct. You got 7 out of 10. There you go.
Not awful.
Not awful at all. Kevin, we're coming for you. I'm going to train him, Rock. You're Drewster Balboa. You're going to run him over like a freight train, Drewster. You hear me? Okay, here we go.
Be quiet, you old man.
I also saw Reindeer Games.
Ah!
Which is, as I watched it, it came back to me that, yes, I had seen it previously. Funny thing about Reindeer Games. If the movie starts, right? If the movie had ended after the first 45 seconds, I'm like, that's a damn good movie. That was intriguing. Because the movie opens with a series of shots of like four or five dead dudes in Santa Claus outfits. And each one all dead in some horrifying manner. Yeah. Like, here's a shot of a car with... There's a Santa Claus with his head in the windshield.
Sweet.
And the body appears to be smoking.
Awesome.
You don't see the face. You just see the body. And it's like... And there's smoke coming off this body. And there's snow everywhere because it's, you know, it's a wintery Christmas movie. And then here's, like, another Santa Claus that he's bent over backwards on a table. And there's a huge hole shotgunned out of him in the middle.
Sweet.
Then here's another Santa Claus dead over here. Here's that, and it's, like, really ominous shots. And I'm like...
And then it's Ben Affleck.
Well, you know what? It's like... Yeah, pretty quickly the movie goes down, and it's not even Ben Affleck's fault. Ben Affleck, for what he did, you know what? He was fine. He was given some real bullshit to work with. So his fault was agreeing to do the movie to begin with. But seriously, after that first like minute, I was like, oh, is this a good movie? Are people like just hating on Ben Affleck? And then
no,
you watch
garbage.
The movie, and it's a garbage movie. It's a really stupid story. Charlize Theron is in it,
mm-hmm.
And I heard that Charlize Theron, she only did the movie because it was directed by this fella, John Frankenheimer,
okay.
Who, like, he did Ronin, was the movie I think he did right before that, and he was in the industry for decades. Reindeer Games was actually his last movie before he passed. So, and she's very upfront about, look, I did the movie because, like, I got to work with this guy. He was a legend. She was trying to, like, kind of lie to herself that the movie could be better than what it was in the script. And even Frankenheimer couldn't make it good, you know.
He's like, oh, this is just garbage.
And you know how things like that happen, Drew?
Wow.
I think people find this interesting. I heard this in an interview with another director. Actually, the director of Punisher, Warzone.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is a lot of these directors, a lot of people, there are a lot of directors out there. You know how there's, like... hear about certain industries that are just so choked full of people that it's hard to get work, like lawyers,
yeah.
Actors, stuff like that. Directors is another one where every other motherfucker foresees him or herself as a director, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's only a certain amount of projects being made, only a certain amount of money to go around. So apparently what happens is the studios themselves, Warner Brothers, Universal, they only make themselves a handful of movies every year.
Yeah.
And they have those movies decided. It's not like someone's going to come along with a script and Warner Brothers and be like, oh, yes, this is great. We'll make this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be like a Christopher Nolan to make that happen.
Yeah.
Where you have a developmental deal. They're like, look, we have... Like, Warner Brothers is like, look, we got our Batman movie. We got our Justice League movie. We need to find directors for here. So it's a case of projects being out there and directors just taking what's out there. Even if it's... below their standards, hoping that maybe they could elevate it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a situation where John Frankenheimer wanted to make a movie. Studio's like, we got Reindeer Games. We're looking for a director. And he's like, oh, God damn it, I guess I can do something with this.
Right before I die.
And then it killed him. So there you go. Reindeer Games. And I saw, I saw something else too recently that was just horrible. Horrible. What did I see? I saw there was Spice World, the Reindeer Game, the Super Mario Brothers. Oh, yeah. The Lance Bass movie. On the Line. The other movies I watched, pretty much all of them, except for Spice World, where I fast-forwarded through the musical numbers. On the Line, movie's about like an hour and 25 minutes.
You watched about 10 minutes of it?
I watched about 65, 70 minutes
of it.
I skipped huge chunks of it. Didn't feel like I missed a damn thing. Thing about that movie, it's got Dave Foley. I love Dave Foley.
Foley's awesome.
Again, Kids in the Hall, also News Radio. Love Dave Foley. Also had the girl who played the girlfriend, E's girlfriend in Entourage. She's, not bad to look at.
Yeah, she's smoking hot.
Cutie patootie. Not much of an actress, but hey, Again, maybe it's a case of just the material being horrible, which it was.
Yes.
Holy cow. Wow.
It's a Lance Bass movie, can you? Come on.
He wasn't even the worst part of it. Not even close to the worst part of it. It was just an inert, horrible piece of crap rom-com. Romantic comedy. And you know what? You know what's also really good about watching movies like that?
Huh.
Movies that terrible? When you watch like those, because I watched that in a span of like 4 days.
Yeah.
I crushed them because I was in the mood. When you go through all that shit, and then you sit down and watch something like Blue Ruin.
Awesome, by the way. Thank you, Billy D.
There you go. Now Blue Ruin is like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's like I was just being fed sewer water for the last 4 days. Out here is like the most crystalline, delicious, clearest, refreshing cup of cold water, perfectly temperatured water ever. Blue Ruin, boom, in your mouth, down your gullet, in your belly.
Yeah.
So good.
Good stuff. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so let's talk about Blue Ruin. We saw it on Netflix.
Blue Ruin was awesome.
Revenge movie.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah. Man. Intense.
Really intense.
Intense. What were your overall impressions of the movie, Drew? Give the people your own review of Blue Ruin.
I can't believe the car started.
Yeah.
The car started and I was like, what the fuck kind of movie do we have going on here?
That thing's operable.
That's what I'm saying.
When he starts putting it back together. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, it's cool where this is a movie where I had seen online, you know, like Blue Ruin here or there, like people were talking about it, really liking it.
Yeah.
But I didn't really read into it. I didn't read about it. I didn't watch the trailer. I try to know as little as possible because every now and then, if I have the chance to do that, because, you know, in this day and age, especially with what we do here with the show and with what I do at ChrisCrespo.com, I got to stay up on what's going on in production and, you know, the different movies that are coming out. I have to be knowledgeable of these things. People expect that. So it's rare when I get to walk into a movie not knowing anything. And that is really the best way to watch a movie because even if the movie is cliched and contrived, you're not going to know for the first 15, 20 minutes. If you walk in not knowing where it's going to go or what's going to happen, every movie is a goddamn surprising masterpiece, at least for the beginning.
Can be.
And then it starts unraveling before your eyes and like, oh, I see what's going on here. But still, I think that's the best way to watch it. Blue Ruin, I knew nothing about it. So like you said, when things start happening in the first few minutes, it's like, what? What's going on? This is crazy. And then shit happened faster than I thought it would.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to give away.
Shit hits the fan pretty quick.
Yeah. And I don't want to give away what happened because even though it's on DVD and Netflix and stuff, it's not like I had a big theatrical release. Yeah. So I don't want to spoil it for people. I want to encourage people to check this movie out for sure, just like Billy did last week with The Death of Movies, which I think we'll get to that next. But, man, it was just so... Oh, so intense.
Totally.
And like you said, the shit hits the fan so
real
fast.
Quick. It's like we're going. Oh, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, I'm watching the movie. I'm like, what I think the end game is going to be.
That's like the first act.
I'm like, holy fuck.
And then they just keep building from there.
Yeah, she keeps elevating. The stakes get higher and higher. The danger keeps increasing. It's a almost perfectly made movie in terms of pacing and story construction. It looks great. It's a gorgeous film. The acting is really good.
Yeah.
That dude who's the lead.
I don't even know who he is.
Yeah, the sad-faced, no-name guy with the sad eyes. I mean, that guy was pretty compelling. Yeah. He kind of looked like a worn-down Joe Latrulio.
Of sorts.
The dude from the States. Yeah. And he's, you know, he pops up here and there. Maybe like a wider-faced Joe Latrulio type dude with the propensity for violence, apparently.
Yes.
Man, good movie.
Fantastic.
Blue
movie.
Ruin.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, people, check it out.
Really suspenseful revenge movie.
Yes. Really, really good stuff. Definitely dug it. Made me think a little bit, it was more like a more violent version of Jeff Nichols' Shotgun Stories, which I don't think it's on the Netflix now. It was on there for a good while. David Gordon Green produced it. Jeff Nichols is a guy who went on to do, after Shotgun Stories, he did Take Shelter. And he did Mud. Have you seen Mud yet, Drew?
Nope, still haven't seen it.
Drew, we gotta watch Mud. That is such a good movie. It's a little long, but it's good.
One of these days.
And it's part of the McConaissance.
You know, I know, I get it.
That's part of the McConaughey day. Yeah, it's part of that whole deal there. That McConaughey commercial where he's driving around in a car.
And he's just talking all cool.
And he's talking, he's like, something about the future and the past, man. It's like, how you gonna go back? It's where you don't know where you're gonna go. Here's the problem I have with celebrities being doing all these commercials now. I saw the Interstellar trailer.
Yes.
And he's talking in the same kind of cadence,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, God damn it, now I'm thinking of a fucking Hyundai commercial. I'm watching the Interstellar trailer.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little lame. That's a little lame. Anyway, off track. Blue Ruin, great stuff.
Fantastic. Really enjoyed it.
Which brings us to this week's brand new Billy D's Death at the Movies. I'm going to play the full intro here. I've never played the full intro. Here's the full intro. Here you go.
So glad you made it.
It'll be better than the last time.
It will be.
Billy D's Death of the Movies. Here we go. What is happening, my dudes? Here's Billy D's Death of the Movies. We're going to get him to do this too. Pretty soon we have the capabilities from the call-in and stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. So everyone can hear his sweet, beautiful voice.
And we're going to talk to him. It'll be fun. Looking forward to getting more Billy D on the show. Filth. There we go. Just starts out with the movie. That James McAvoy one.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Filth. Seen via screening and again on Netflix. So he's seen it twice now. Filth is a black ellipses something. It isn't funny for normal people. It's a black comedy for misanthropes.
Hey, I love this movie.
That's a theme of the show. Misanthropy right there. Yeah. Look at that. James McAvoy gives an outstanding performance as a detective who may have gone over the edge by the time we see him. The rest of the truly awesome cast is there to provoke McAvoy's descent.
Sweet.
Packaged as a comedy, this movie is anything but. However, it is an absolute watch for any great mood you want to ruin. This is definitely a 12th date movie. Maybe you're thinking you want to give her a key, but you want to see how she'll react to Lady Lisa choking Professor X during some extramarital sex. Who knows?
Sweet.
Know what I know? Who loves the ability? There you go.
All right, so it's a 12th date movie.
There you go. 12th date
you,
movie.
You don't want to just be like, yo, hey, how's it going, girl? I just met you. Want to watch this movie? It's got James McAvoy in it. You like him, right?
Has that ever happened to you where you've taken a girl, just like it's one of your first couple times getting together, and you agree to see a movie because that's a very common thing for people to do. Maybe you see something that like, why did we do it? What was it? What do you got, Drew?
Yes, it would be.
What do you got?
I went and saw, what was it? That Eileen Moranos movie.
Ooh, Monster.
Yeah, I went and saw Monster with a lady friend.
Ew.
That killed the mood pretty quick.
That's a mood killer for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. I don't think I've ever done that.
Well, I told her to pick the movie. That was
still no matter how it happens, it happens. I don't think that's ever happened to me. I have seen a couple of just bad movies because you know girls have you know I mean come on some of them
yeah
some of them don't have the best
a lot of them.
I saw You've Got Mail in theaters.
Oh.
It had Dave Chappelle in it. When Dave Chappelle popped up as Tom Hanks' friend.
You're like, score!
All right. I was like, at that time, before Chappelle's show, at that time, I was like, hey, it's a guy from Robin. I mean, I knew who Dave Chappelle was because of Comedy Central. I was like, hey, it's a guy from Robin Hood Men in Tights. I saw The Little Black Book, Brittany Murphy movie with Holly Hunter and Ron Livingston, I think.
Ouch.
And that was that one got weirdly dark at the end. At the end, that was kind of a bummer.
No.
Did I get any of that day?
Chris can't remember.
I can't remember.
So it must have been the answer no. Maybe you would have remembered if you had.
Maybe Little Black Book. Can I remember every time I...
Can you?
Actually,
probably not.
For various reasons. No, I don't think I can.
I mean, there are definitely sometimes I just don't remember, period. All of a sudden it's like, hey, I'm in somebody else's bed. All like, right.
How did I...
What just happened here?
Who's this bald gentleman?
Ooh, I'm sorry, Chris.
Oh, no, I thought we were talking to you.
No.
I thought we were role playing your...
No bald gentleman here, sir.
Knights.
No bald gentleman here.
Guys from bars. All right, so there you go. Phil, thank you very much, Billy D. We appreciate this week's Billy D's Death of the Movies. Follow Billy D on Twitter at ILoveBlood. And don't let the name off-put you. He's a nice guy.
But he does love blood.
But he does love blood. And metal. So, and the more metal-y, the better. The more metal-er, the better. The more metalicious. the better. Okay, I got a couple of movie news stories here. Here we go. Let's see. Let's crank them out pretty quickly. Most of them are just actually release date type deals. For example, they announced the release date for the Deadpool movie.
Mm-hmm.
So with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
They've been talking about doing this for years.
Yep.
Since before X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Where they butchered it.
Where they butchered it. Obviously, they're going to be ignoring that, going more straight. You know, Fox is like, we need.
They'll probably make fun of it.
On top of that, Fox needs to make a goddamn Deadpool movie at this point, or else the rights are going to revert to Marvel, mm-hmm. and then they're fucked. So, but it's happening, it looks like. It's slated to come out winter of 2016.
Okay.
Which means they have to start shooting by early next year. So they're already. It's kind of fast-tracked. Coming along. The heels of that, there's some rearranging of a couple of release dates. For example, the Fantastic Four reboot
mm-hmm.
was supposed to come out June 2015, got pushed to August 2015.
Okay.
I think that's because of Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians came out in August, made $90 million. Now it's seen like August can be a month where you can release a lower tier superhero movie.
And make a bunch of money.
And hopefully still make a bunch of money. So especially if it's going to be good. Considering it's going to be directed by a guy that Chronicle.
We'll see.
I'm leaning towards good. I want this one. I don't even care about the Fantastic Four characters. Or that. Were you a fan at all of the Fantastic
Not
Four?
Not really.
You know, that wasn't your thing at all?
Yeah, really. I mean,
you're a Marvel guy.
I had to know about them because they are, you know, one of the.
They're linked to X-Men and Spider-Man.
They're linked to a lot of people, but yeah. I really don't care about
you
them.
You never went out of your way to read some Fantastic Four.
I own a bunch of it, but I never read any of it.
All right, fair enough. Well, that's not coming out in August of 2015. You may also care about this movie because I know you're into it, Assassin's Creed.
I am looking forward to that.
With Michael Fassbender.
Yes.
He's the one behind this one.
Yes, he is.
He really wants this to get made. He wants to be the lead. That was supposed to come out August 2015. Now has new release date of to be determined.
Sweet.
So that's not good news for people wanting to see that movie. But there you go. Also in separately reported news, real quick. Did you enjoy how we have a lot of UK listeners? Shout out to our UK listeners. You guys are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, UK's greatest cinematic export must be James Bond.
One of, yeah.
It has to be. I mean, 23 James Bond movies. I would say 50% of them are actually good. And a quarter of them are actually damn good.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best ones to be made was the most recent one, Skyfall.
Yeah.
Skyfall's a damn good movie.
It is.
Directed by Sam Mendes, the guy who did American Beauty. Sam Mendes is coming back to direct the next James Bond.
Okay.
They finally have a release date. It's already been 2 years since Skyfall came out. At this point, it's going to be about 3.5-4 years between James Bond movies.
That's a long time.
That's a long time, right? If you want to try to keep the momentum going, they lost whatever momentum they had.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe, you know, it's movies. It's a little different, right? So, it's going to begin shooting December 6th of this year to come out, looks like late next year it'll be coming out. Yep, November 6th. 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So almost a year away. In 1 year, we'll get the new James Bond. Part of the reason why it took him a little while to put it together, Sam Mendes, he did Skyfall.
Yeah.
And then when he was done, they were like, hey, we want you to do the next one too, because, you know, this worked out so well. And he's like, I love James Bond. It was a great time. However, I have this theater thing I want to do. I have these other projects that I've already had lined up pre-Bond that I want to continue with. So I can't commit to another Bond movie right now. Eon Productions, they're like, you know what? We'll wait.
Like, let us know.
They talked to a couple other directors. They shopped it around. But then they're like, you know what? We will wait for you. If you commit to the next Bond movie, we'll let you do all the other things you want to do that you had lined up. And we'll put it off a year or two. So that's why, apparently, there's a big gap between Bond movies. Which I find that fascinating. Eon Productions, for the longest time, they've been a company as the holders of the keys of the Bond franchise.
Yeah.
Known as people that... they kind of want journeyman directors in there.
Mm-hmm.
They want the guys that just show up and just give you a Bond movie without much style or flair. You know, they wouldn't let, like, a decade ago, Quentin Tarantino was lobbying to make a Bond movie.
That would have been batshit crazy.
It would have been insane, but it would have been, like you said, batshit crazy. That's not what they want. They don't want batshit crazy Bond. They just want successful Bond.
Yeah.
So that's when they go out and get a guy like Martin Campbell, who you hear the name Martin Campbell. Like, I don't know who the fuck Martin Campbell is. Martin Campbell is the guy who did GoldenEye.
Ah, very nice.
And the Casino Royale.
Yeah, very, yeah.
You know, and he has a couple other movies in his filmography that's like, you know what, he has pretty decent movies under his belt. No, he doesn't have any discernible style.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that strong of a voice as a director. But if you give him a decent script,
he can make a decent movie.
He'll give you a decent movie. And as such, he gave us two of the better Bond movies of the last 25, 30 years.
Agreed.
You know, so definitely the best Brosnan Bond movie for sure. By far, GoldenEye is so much better than the other three Brosnan movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad how, you know.
Agreed.
It was a bit of a waste of the Brosnan tenure.
It was.
To have him star in so much
garbage.
Shit. It was pure shit. Meanwhile, the guy who played Jaws, that tall guy with the metal teeth,
yeah,
he died recently.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. Richard Kiel. Shout out to that guy. Oh, and Chiwetel Ejiofor, my homeboy, 12 Years a Slave guy, in talks to be a villain for the next Bond movie. So that could be really
good. I mean, he was good as the "quote unquote" bad guy in *Children of Men*.
Yes, yes, as the rebel leader.
Yeah,
yeah, dude, he's a great actor. He's good. So the guy who did the Fargo TV show, Noah Hawley.
Okay,
That was a great show.
Yes, it was. I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, good stuff. Very surprising. It turned out as good as it did. He's using that success to the success of that show, you know, to obviously get more work, which is that's how it's done. He's going into movies. On top of doing Fargo Season 2, he's still working on that. But he's also getting into the movie thing.
He's going to do Fargo 2.
He's going to do Fargo 2 the movie. Oh my God, Drew. That would be... That would be fucked up, actually. I would jump off the Noah Hawley bandwagon if he did Fargo 2.
Fargo 2.
I don't care how good the TV show is.
The Fargoing.
The Fargon conclusion. Fargo. All right, here we go. But he is working with Universal Studios. Let me see if you can pick this up. What is the one thing, Drew, that separates Universal Studios from Warner Brothers, Disney, Columbia, MGM, all those things? What's the one thing that set Universal apart that they still harp on to this day?
No idea.
No idea. Universal Monsters.
Okay.
They're the ones that invented the monster movie.
Okay, good for them.
The Mummy, yeah, Frankenstein, yeah. Frankenstein, Dracula. That's all Universal. They started that shit in like in the 20s and 30s, and they've been fucking pumping those out ever since. As evidenced with the goddamn Dracula Untold trailer. We keep seeing it over and over. The movie looks horrible, but you know what? At least Universal is like, we have these characters. Let's at least keep trying. At least they keep trying. They're not trying to make something bad. It just so happens that it looks like complete crap. You know?
Yeah, but it does.
It is what it is. But that's part of Dracula Untold is part of their new... They're revamping all the monsters. They're bringing them all back. They're all getting their own movies. And because of the fucking Avengers effect... They've made allusions to how it's going to be like a shared universe type of thing. Yes, the monsters will be appearing in other monster movies. So you know what? But just give me good movies. I don't give a shit.
It's not going
to
happen.
I don't think all these things need to be connected. So we got Dracula Untold coming out with Luke Evans as Dracula.
Frankenstein Untold.
Yeah, Frankenstein. I hope they... Oh, my God. Like X-Men Origins. X-Men Origins. Jubilee.
No one wants to see that movie.
For some reason, no one's been clamoring for Jubilee to be included in any
of these. Well, it's because her mutant power sucks. She shoots flashing lights at you.
She shoots sparklers.
Worst mutant ever.
All right, so what's going on is they got a mummy movie in the works. That's the beginning.
Okay.
Well, they got Dracula Untold now. They got a mummy movie in the works. Alex Kurtzman, he's part of this writing team. Kurtzman and Orci, Roberto Orci. I think that's how you say it. O-R-C-I.
Don't care.
These guys are the screenwriting duo behind some of the biggest, most financially successful summer blockbusters of the last 10, 15 years.
Okay.
Also, if you look at the list of movies that they made, they're all fucking garbage.
Sweet.
They are the goddamn worst.
But they make a lot of money.
But they make a ton of money. Like, they wrote... And you know what? You might actually disagree with me, because they wrote the Star Trek movies, the Star Trek reboots, which I don't really like.
They're okay.
I thought the first one was okay. I don't like the second one. They wrote them both. They wrote the Transformers screenplays.
Awful.
They wrote the first three of them, at least. They wrote a bunch of other garbage. They've recently split up to do their own thing. Roberto Orci is doing... What's he fucking... Not the new Pirates. He's doing... he's jumping on some franchise somewhere that he's going to fucking ruin. And the other guy, Kurtzman, he's doing The Mummy, and he's kind of overseeing the whole monster thing. So all the monster movies will probably be shit. The Mummy is set for release for June 24, 2016. Don't expect anything along the lines of The Mummy movies with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole new iteration of The Mummy. So I am looking forward to more monster movies.
Monsters are fun.
They're cool. Yeah, they can be fun. But if they make a bunch of fucking Van Helsings.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or like The Wolfman. That turned out. What a great idea, too. It's like, let's bring on Rick Baker. Let's hire Mark Romanek to direct. The guy who did 1 hour photo. Let's get Benicio del Toro to do his best Lon Chaney impression. But then the director leaves. And then the new director muscles out Rick Baker. And then Benicio del Toro's just like, fuck, I just gotta do what they tell me to do. And now you got a shit movie.
Yep.
All that hard work, man. Movies are hard to make. You know? It's hard to stick that landing.
Yeah, seriously.
And finally, I pulled a story in part for you, dude. If you look online, there is a test footage for an animated Popeye movie.
Okay.
So they're making a Popeye movie. That's for me. I love Popeye. I think Popeye's cool. I dig the weird, crazy, musical Robert Altman Popeye movie with Robin Williams. You know,
it's a weird one.
It's a weird one. I really enjoyed the cartoon when I was a kid. So if they came out with a new one, a theatrical one, I'd probably go see it.
Of course.
You might be interested in this movie because it is being spearheaded by, what's this fella's name? I can never say this name right. Why don't you say that name for me there?
Kendi Tartakovsky.
There you go.
I'll see anything that guy does.
That guy is good. Why don't you give a rundown of Tarkovsky for the Tartakovsky?
He was the creator of Dexter's Laboratory.
Ah, yeah.
He's also the genius behind Samurai Jack.
Yes, Samurai Jack.
Also did the. Not the Netflix series Star Wars: The Clone Wars, but the Cartoon Network series Star Wars: The Clone Wars,
which came out between episodes 2 and 3.
Yeah,
yeah. Which actually was supposed to bridge those movies, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's Kenny Tartakovsky.
Well, this is what he's been working on lately. He's been working on the Popeye movie. Apparently,
that's cool. I'm down. I love his animation style.
If you go online, actually, if you just go to YouTube, search Kenny Tartakovsky's Popeye animation test, it'll pop right up. The first few minutes is him talking about the project, why he wanted to do it. The last couple minutes is a scene of, it looks like Olive Oil is on like a pirate ship or something, and Brutus pops up, but there's also a bunch of all these other pirates, and Popeye is, it's just a big, you know, little action scene or whatever, but done Popeye cartoon style. And it's that kind of, you know, like, as you can see there, it's like that 3D kind of animation.
Okay.
You know, the stereoscopic animation. And they emphasize that this stuff isn't, it's not for a trailer, it's not in the movie, the people doing the voices aren't even the actors, it's test footage just to see what it would look like, to give people an idea of where they're going with it. And I watched it earlier, and it's cool. I think it's interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Also, it's Sony Pictures Animation. They take some interesting risks, Sony Pictures. You know, they're the guys behind Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Uh-huh.
You know,
great movie.
They gave Lord Miller. They gave Lord Miller all that leeway to make that crazy Miller movie. So, you know, hopefully they'll do the same with Mr. How do you say it?
Tartakovsky.
Hopefully they'll do the same with him and let him make the Popeye movie he wants to make. And it'll be great. Fingers crossed. I enjoy Popeye. I know I do have a couple of questions here. On the Facebook and Twitter. Let's see if I can find them real quick. On the Facebook, Tom Lucas. Why is the Lego movie so awesome while Avengers is so crappy? Aforementioned team Lord Miller.
Lord Miller, that's why.
If Lord Miller made the Avengers movies, then, I mean, the movie would be incredible.
Yeah, agreed.
It would be so good. But they didn't. Lego movie, still one of my favorite movies of the year. Still so good. How can you not like Lego movie?
You can't not like it. If you don't like it, there's something wrong with you.
This is from Chris. Yes, exactly. This is from Chris Ellis. Forget That Eel Radio. Shout out to Stone the Terrible. Do you have a favorite movie porn parody title? Or make one up. San Fernando Jones in the Temple of Poon. Lol. favorite movie porn parody.
Or
just make one up. Let's see. We got a. I mean, it's pretty easy to just throw dirty words into a movie title, right?
Instead of Batman, you can have Buttman.
Buttman, take that. That might actually be real. You got
instead of Star Wars, you got Star Whores.
Star Whores. You got Back to the Future of Sex.
Backdoor to the Future?
Backdoor to the Future. Drew's killing it. How about I think we came up with one last night. Were we talking about a movie last night?
Maybe. Perhaps.
Something. I thought we had one. The Magnificent Seven, and then just throw in whatever porn thing you want there. Magnificent Seven Titties, Seven Blowjobs,
Seven Titties, you're missing a titty somewhere. There's a tit missing.
Or we got a Total Recall type situation there.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Porn title?
Yeah.
Porn title.
Right? Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good.
Pretty awful, but whatever.
I gotta work on that comedy bone. Let's see here. We got at Matt Celery. How many?
Be a porn title right there.
The comedy bone.
Working that comedy bone.
How many movies in the IMDb top 250, bottom 100 have y'all seen? And for the latter, enjoyed. Oh my goodness.
I saw this question earlier, and I made a tally. Actually,
oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Holy shit! All right, well then, Drew, answer the question.
I have seen 152 of the top 250.
God damn.
Yes.
That's a lot of them.
The 100 that I missed are a lot of them are old or foreign.
Okay. Yeah. Those fucking old movies, those goddamn foreign movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
A bunch of goddamn bullshit, if you ask me.
See, I've seen 152. I've only missed 98 of them.
Of the top 250. All right, let's see here. Well, yeah, I mean, Shawshank Redemption, Godfather Part 2.
Dude, there's 250
Dark Knight,
of them. It takes
Pulp
a long
Fiction,
time.
Good, Bad, and Ugly. Schindler's List. Soul Ring of Men. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Fight Club, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. I'm going to go until I haven't seen one. Let's see how deep I get. Star Wars Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back, Inception, Forrest Gump, 1/4 of Cuckoo's Nest, Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, Goodfellas, Matrix, Star Wars, Seven Samurai, Society of God, Seven, Usual Suspects, Silence of the Lambs, It's a Wonderful Life, Once Upon a Time in the West, Leon the Professional, Life is Beautiful. Ooh, you know what? I haven't seen Life is Beautiful.
Neither have I.
That's the one with Roberto Benigni. Mm-hmm. That's the first one. Have you seen all the other ones?
Yeah.
So we need to see Life is Beautiful then. Casablanca, obviously. Raiders of the Lost Ark, American
History X.
I haven't
seen Casablanca.
You haven't seen Casablanca?
Not all the way through.
It's good. We can watch that. Psycho, Rear Window, Saving Private Ryan, City Lights. I haven't seen City Lights.
Nope.
Spirited Away, obviously. Intouchables, Modern Times of Charlie Chaplin. Have you seen Modern Times?
No, I haven't seen the Intouchables either.
The Intouchables? How about the Untouchables?
I've seen the Untouchables, but not the Intouchables.
No, it's Untouchables. Intouchables. Oh,
it's Intouchables.
That's the French one. That's that French movie with that's on the Netflix too. That's good. It's a good movie. I don't think it should be number 30 fucking 7 of the top 250. It's good. Terminator 2, Memento, Pianist, Sunset Boulevard.
Can we not go through the whole 250, please?
We're not going through the whole 250. We're only at number 43.
Like I said, can we stop?
Green Mile, Doctor Strangelove. Have you seen these?
Yes.
Apocalypse Now, The Departed, Gladiator, yes. Boyhood. Already at number 48.
I know, right?
We haven't had a chance.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, actually, we have had a chance. Spent the end zone for a month. But Back to the Future, Alien, out of the top 50. I haven't seen. It looks like, what, 4 or 5 out of the top 50. Isn't that the same for you, it looks like?
Ish.
Man, have you seen how many of them?
I've seen 152 of them.
152 of the 250?
Yeah. I haven't seen 98.
As I go through it, yeah, I mean, obviously it's some of the older movies that I haven't seen.
Bunch of foreign ones in there you haven't seen.
You know, Grave of the Fireflies. I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen Witness for a Prosecution. I haven't seen Bicycle Thieves. I've seen The Bicycle Thief. I haven't seen one. All right, how about the bottom?
I've seen 5 of the bottom 100.
You've only seen 5 of the bottom 100.
Yeah.
So.
Epic Movie, Leonard Part 6, Geely, Battlefield Earth, and Troll 2 are the only 5 I've seen. The rest of them, I haven't even heard of most of these movies.
Okay. Let me see here. I'm going through the bottom 100. That Going Overboard movie, Adam Sandler. I've never seen that one, but it's funny that's on there. Super Babies. Maybe Geniuses 2. I haven't seen that one. Man of Sands of Fate. That's legendary for how bad it is. But again, yeah, no. Most of these I haven't seen. House of the Dead. I've seen parts of it. Just because it's an Uwe Boll movie. From Justin to Kelly. That's another one I've been meaning to watch. But I haven't seen it. Son of the Mask. Never saw that one.
No, exactly. Like I said, a lot of these movies, I've not only have I never heard of them, but I haven't seen them either.
I'm going through lists. I'm already at number 44, 47. I know. Oh, man, I never saw that one. The Chairman of the Board, that Carrot Top movie.
Nope, never saw it.
Okay, now I did see that in part 6. Did you say you saw Epic Movie?
Yeah, I saw Epic Movie.
You actually saw it?
Yeah.
Like, you watched it?
It was on HBO one day when I was really high.
There you go. All right. Well, I saw that in part 6. So that's one. Alone in the Dark. I've seen bits and pieces of it with Christian Slater and Tara Reid.
Nope.
Well, I'm not going to count. Well, again, Ubi Bowl. Lawnmower Man 2. Never saw it. Geely, you've only seen parts of it. I never watched it. You watched it with Billy D.
Me and Billy D. We had to know why it was so bad, and then we found out.
And then you found out. Okay, I have seen Battlefield Earth. So I'm at 2 full movies. Ooh, Simon Says. I wanted to see that one, but I never did. That's one with Dennis Robin and Dane Cook.
Oh, it was awful.
Never saw Baby Geniuses. Never saw Ed. That's the one with Joey from Friends and the monkey, and they play baseball.
Yeah, nope.
Never saw Bratz. I mean, there's Troll 2. I've seen parts of Troll 2. Can't piss on hospitality, that type of stuff. I think you've seen more on the bottom 100 than I have.
Awesome. You've seen Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, I've seen Battlefield Earth. Yeah, I saw that, and like, you know what? Long time ago, when it came out, I saw Car 54. Where are you?
Sorry.
I can't remember goddamn thing about it. So there you go. Okay. And Drew came prepared on that question. Thank God someone did, because I missed it. Let me see. We got here from Mike7Deuce. I put out a tweet. Or I tweeted. I have to say what I tweeted to set up Mike's question. Okay. I tweeted, is #TooCute the greatest thing on TV ever? The answer is yes, by far.
The answer is no.
Yes, it's by far the greatest thing ever. Mike7Deuce tweeted, can we get a review on Crespediso?
Would you like to review your...
Of TooCute?
Your silly slow motion puppies?
Oh my god, dude, slow motion puppies being washed under his... or you missed slow motion puppy running through the rain in the backyard. Oh my god.
I'd rather see slow motion naked ladies doing the same things.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, like Piranha 3D underwater slow motion boobs. Yeah, that's great. You can look it up online. But sometimes, that's also going to bring up other feelings. I'm just looking for just a straight pick-me-up. Just like, I just want to feel...
You just want your serotonin to drop.
I just want, rainbows and lollipops.
And puppies.
And fucking the cutest goddamn puppies. And not just puppies, kittens. Cute kittens. I prefer dogs over cats, but goddamn, some of those kittens are so goddamn cute. Okay.
And the way they like it, they need to go, meow.
Oh, man. And then they're like, and they're running around, they're doing stuff. Then voiceover guy, they all have names, and he's like describing what they're doing. And it's like Fluffy wants to hang out with the house cat, but it won't. And then the cat and the dog are trying to hang out. Like, the dog's trying to hang out with the cat, but the cat's like, I ain't having this. But then eventually, over the course of weeks, the dog, puppy, wins over the cat. They become friends, and they're hanging out. They're sitting in the same chair together.
And then the closing shot is them sleeping together.
Oh.
Just falling asleep on one another. Just
in slow motion. Come on. As someone pours water on them. Because it's so cute. It's so cute when they're under a faucet. And they're like, oh, my God. Look at them. Look at them. And they've been doing lately... The pint size edition of Too Cute. So it's just like even tinier puppies and kittens. Come on. How can you not enjoy it? That's all I'm saying. How can you not enjoy it?
That's a great question.
Thank you. Thank you for...
Although I can not enjoy it by not watching it because I don't like it and think it's stupid.
Okay. Fair enough. There you go. Son of a bitch. You son of a bitch! Okay,
just putting it out there.
Okay, that's fine. I'm pretty sure that's it for the questions. If you have a question, you can always hit up the show on Twitter at Crespediso. Also, you can email the show at cinemacrespediso.com. Let's finish it out with a lightning round, Drew.
All right.
Here we go. Number one, start the clock.
Go.
Have you ever won a trophy?
Yes.
Number two, what did you do for your last birthday?
Worked.
Number three, what do you like right now?
Beer.
Number four, what time did you get up?
5 a.m.
Number five, do you sing in the shower?
No.
Number six, how many keys are on your key ring?
I have to count. Hang on. Six.
Number 7, do you like to dance?
No.
Number 8, what kind of books do you like to read?
Sci-fi.
Number 9, what is your favorite time of day?
Night.
And number 10, what are some of the different jobs you've had in your life?
I've either worked in a restaurant or at the car wash. That's it.
Restaurant or car wash?
That's all I got.
That's it?
That's it.
That's all you got?
Yep. It's the only job I've ever done.
Good enough, dude. This is a little loud. I actually just want to do this one. Much more polite. All right, well, there you go. That's the end of the show. Thank you very much, Drew.
Welcome, dude.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Please rate and review the show on iTunes. We will read what you write on the show. It'll be our pleasure. Also, share the show, iTunes, Stitcher, however you like to listen to your podcast. ChrisCrespo.com is the place to be.
ChrisCrespo.com.
So there you go. That's the end of the show. Episode 90.
10 more to go.
10 more to go.
And then we're done forever.
And then it's all over, folks.